Last week I started a sermon entitled Back to the Basics, which involves getting your faith back on track. However, I failed to list the steps involved in the process. They are as follows. 1. Energize your faith. 2. Fortify your hope. 3. Activate your love. 4. Enhance your joy. 5. Enjoy your peace. Last week we covered energizing your faith and fortifying your love. Tonight we will cover the remaining topics, beginning with activate your love. Definition of love. Paul gives the best definition of love in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. A simple definition of love, which is easy to remember, is active goodwill. The importance of love. Expressing love gives us assurance of our salvation, as stated in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 14, 18, and 19. We know that we have passed from life, from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Expressing love assures us that God will answer our prayers, as stated in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 22 through 23. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Expressing love assures us that we abide in God and he in us. 1 John 4th chapter, verses 7 through 8, 12, and 16. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Activating your love. Like the Thessalonians, we can be taught by God how to love, as stated in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, in verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Jesus taught us how to love by his sacrificial life in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God taught us how to love by giving his Son as a propitiation for our sins. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Through careful meditation upon what the Bible reveals about God's love for us, we can activate our love for others. As we continue to list what is involved in getting back to the basics, I also encourage you to enhance your joy.
One more.
Thank you. Let me know if I'm missing. All right. The Greek word for joy is chara, and is closely related to the Greek word for grace, charis. Charis, grace, is undeserved favor, which in turn gives joy, pleasure, or delight. Chara, or joy, then is the response we have to undeserved favor. Joy could be thought of as the delightful response to the grace we receive from God. Joy is an essential element of what constitutes the kingdom of God, as stated in Romans the 14th chapter and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy lightens the burden of trials in this life, as stated in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 32 to 34. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. It is often the loss of this virtue that is most evident in the lives of many Christians. Both Jesus and his apostles gave us words whereby our joy might be full, as stated in John the 15th chapter, verse 11, and also 1 John the 1st chapter and verse 4. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Once again, we see the value of daily Bible study. Just as the Bible can energize your faith, fortify your hope, activate your love, so it can enhance your joy. Jesus also stressed the importance of prayer as it relates to joy in John the 16th chapter in verse 24. Until now, if you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Answered prayer certainly excites the Christian and increases joy. So in addition to the practice of daily Bible study, a key to getting back to the basics is the habit of regular prayer. There's one more basic point that I would like to make before we conclude the study. You should also enjoy your peace. The phonetic pronunciation of the word peace is eirene. Vines describes peace as harmonious relations. It is used to describe harmony between men, nations, God and man, one's own self. A lack of peace often contributes to the spiritual stagnation that afflicts many Christians. The importance of peace. Peace is another crucial element which constitutes the kingdom of God, as stated in Romans the 14th chapter, verses 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. And the things by which one may edify another. Peace with brethren contributes to receiving peace from God, as stated in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And having peace with God has a positive effect in our peace with our enemies, as stated in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, in verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Peace with God begins with justification found only in Christ, as stated in Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 1. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It continues in response to fervent prayer, as stated in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just as prayer can enhance our joy, so can prayer help us to enjoy our peace that surpasses all understanding. So in conclusion, faith, hope, love, joy, and peace are simple words, but are so essential to the abundant life that Jesus has to offer to those who come to him. Why are they often in short supply in the lives of many Christians? Because they neglect the two fundamental tools that God provides for them, which are the Word of God and prayer. Brethren, whenever you find yourselves in a spiritual slump, that these two avenues of communication with God be the key to energize your faith, fortify your hope, activate your love, enhance your joy, and enjoy your peace. Restoring the basic elements of the abundant life found only in Christ is not a mystery. You have to receive the implanted Word of God, as stated in James, the 1st chapter, in verse as stated in James, the 1st chapter, in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Continue earnestly in prayer, as stated in Colossians, the 4th chapter, in verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in thanksgiving. It's just that simple. With that, we'll close and begin our invitation.
At the end of every sermon, we offer you an opportunity to repent, to ask for prayer, or put the Lord on in baptism. In order to put the Lord on in baptism, you must first hear. Romans 10:17 states, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Next, you must believe. Jesus states in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Next, you must repent. Jesus states in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Next, you must confess. Jesus states in Matthew 10:32, whosoever confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father in heaven. Last but not least, you must be baptized. Jesus states in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be condemned. I'm warning, while you're here, while the blood is warm in your veins, while you have the opportunity, that you come forth and be put on Christ in baptism.